The stairs led down to another deck that was identical to the first. The passageway ended not in a stairwell, but in an unlocked door, which they opened. As they stepped through the doorway, their noses told them there had been a change in their surroundings. Instead of the briny odor that had pervaded the passageways, the air had an electrical smell to it, as if they had stepped into a Radio Shack. Austin played the light around. They were standing on a balcony that overlooked a huge central hold. The space contained four massive cylindrical objects set in a line. "Looks like the electrical generating plant inside Hoover Dam," Austin said. "There's enough power here for a small city." Zavala clicked a few photos. "Or a big spark plug," Austin said, thinking about the ruined coil they had seen on the deck. He pointed the light upward. Dozens of thick electrical cables snaked down from the ceiling and ran to the generators. Creak. The deck beneath their feet tilted at a sharper angle. Austin was intrepid, but not foolish. They retraced their steps through the door, up the stairs, and along the passageway, until they were out in the open once more. The fresh air felt good after the claustrophobic darkness inside the ship. The vessel was definitely more tilted than it had been. Austin still wasn't satisfied. There was no foundation for a superstructure, but there had to be a control room. While Zavala called the Throckmorton with an update on their status, Austin made his way along the cockeyed deck toward the stern. He came across several more hatchways that provided access into the ship. He figured that any one of them would be a crapshoot, and that he would have to be very lucky to choose the right one. Then he found what he was looking for. Near a hatchway set into the middle of the deck at the aft end of the ship were some round insulators. He guessed that they might have been the basis for radio antennae blasted off in the whirlpool. He opened the hatch and motioned for Zavala to follow him down the ladder. As before, the ladder led to a deck and a passageway, but the corridor was only about 10 feet long, and it ended in a door. They opened the door and stepped inside. "I think we just found a crew," Zavala said. There were 6 decomposed corpses in the control room. They were piled in the lower end of the room. Austin was reluctant to violate the crew's tomb, but he knew it was important to learn as much about the ship as possible. With Zavala a step behind, Austin entered the room and glanced at the large control panel. With dozens of gauges and switches, it was far more complicated than any he had ever seen. He made an educated guess that the dynamos below decks were controlled from this compact space. He was examining the controls when the ship suddenly creaked, then seemed to moan. Zavala said,
"Kurt!"
Austin knew that if they stayed with the crew a second longer, they would be joining the bloated corpses. "I think we're done here," he pointed to the door. With Zavala leading, they pounded down the corridor and practically vaulted up the ladder onto the deck and into the sunlight. Austin had tried keeping track in his head of the seconds that had elapsed since they heard the noise, but in their rush he had lost count. There was no time to get in the boat, start the motor, and cast off. They ran for the lower side of the ship and launched their bodies off the side. When they came up, they swam as fast as they could. The ship would create suction as it sank, and they didn't want to get caught in it. They were well away from the vessel when they stopped swimming and looked back. The lower rail had dropped so that it was entirely underwater. The ship itself was poised at a dangerous angle, with the deck almost perpendicular to the surface of the sea. Then the ship suddenly reached the tipping point and rolled over. It floated for several minutes, looking like the shiny, wet back of a gigantic turtle. As water flowed into the hold, the ship sank lower, until only a small circle of the hull was visible. Then that too disappeared, and was replaced by a frothy mound of bubbles. The sea had taken back its own.